Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Center Friends this morning on this absolutely beautiful, cool day. It's nice to have a reprieve from the 125 degree weather and the 110% humidity. So glad you're here this morning. If you are visiting with us, if you would like to be put on our newsletter list, please fill out one of the visitor cards. We're just asking for your name and your email address or your name and phone number. We'd love to send you something. We'd love to get you involved here, see what's going on at Center, and place that in the offering plate when the ushers send those by. To start off worship this morning, let's stand and sing hymn number 49, I Must Tell Jesus.
Father, we come to you today on this beautiful fall day. Feels like we appreciate that. Come to you and just celebrate your love and your joy, and we hope to spread that throughout our community and world. And Lead us and guide us and bring us back next week. Amen.
We've got quite a few announcements this morning, some that I want to make sure we do cover and put some emphasis on. The first thing being Vacation Bible School. There is a sign-up sheet for volunteers. There's plenty of space, plenty of opportunities for you to help those that are directing Bible School this August. If you're not going to annual session, this is a perfect opportunity for you to serve in a Christian manner and be able to give back to our youth, both here in Center and our community, and also those who are coming from the yearly meeting at Quaker Lake. They'll be invited to come and join us for Vacation Bible School. So I encourage you to sign up as the Lord leads you to do so. There's also a revival at Concord Friends that we would love to have a big showing to August the 12th through the 15th. It is a Western Quarter revival. I believe we're having some part in it at some point, and you may hear more about that later, potentially. But please make plans to attend that as well. Are there any other announcements that need to be made?
Prayer request.
Today's
our short birthday.
Yeah, he told me, I asked him, and I said, how old are you? And he said, I don't know. And then I said, 29. He said, yeah, we'll go with that.
I understand from Mr. Whitaker and Mr. Hockett back there that I've got to start dressing better as I get older.
Yeah, that's right. Three pieces. Well, happy birthday, Forrest. Any other announcements?
There are, I know Tommy was awesome and got the online registration for kids up on our website, which is super cool, so I encourage you to sign up that way. But I've also got registration papers in both the foyers, so if you want to grab one on your way out because you know a grandchild or neighbor or somebody else that can come, please pick those up and just get those back to me as soon as you can. Thanks.
One last thing that just came to my mind, and I forgot to write it down. There's other sign-ups for Children's Moments in August. A lot of blanks on that sheet for the rest of the year, so please take that opportunity to pray about your service to our young folks. Any other announcements?
At the Rise of Worship, there will be one of two listening sessions with Minister and Council. The first one is going to be today at the Rise of Worship, as quick as we can get back there to be at the library. So if anyone who has a few extra minutes and wants to give us input about what we're working on with the new pastor, if you want to give input on that, it's today. We have another one on the 18th, I believe,
16th.
And that will be in the fellowship hall at 6:30. So there'll be two chances for you to give input, and then if you don't want to or cannot attend either one of those, then get in contact with somebody on Minister Council.
Any others? All right, our ushers come forward for our tithes and offerings. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you so much for this wonderful place. We thank you for this earth that you give us to enjoy. We thank you for the beautiful weather that you give us to allow us to fellowship, to worship, to turn the earth as you have instructed us to do so. Lord, we can't do that without the many blessings that you do give us. We can't move forward without those blessings, Lord. Thank you so much for those givers, both in service and spirit. Bless all the givings that come to Center, Lord. Bless the givers, bless those who receive our ministries, so that we do so in your name and in worship of you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your love. Amen.
Thank you.
month into our Bible school, and I think it's going to be pretty cool. I'm getting super excited. And one of our main focuses in Bible school, I know we talked about some upstairs, is that God made us, and He made us so wonderfully complex. And I think John is able to tell us what complex means. Yeah, it has a lot of parts, right? And it is so, like, crazy and cool and wonderful that God made us with all our parts, our hands, our eyes, our blood, our bones, and put us all together, and we can do so many cool things. And another thing we're going to be focusing on is that God made the world around us. And on a beautiful day like today, we can really be thankful for that, right? So I want to show you one of my most favorite animals, because I think that I see God a lot in the creatures around us and the animals around us, because they're so different, right? Different kinds of animals. So I want to show you one of my favorite. I'm going to do a little comparison to us and this animal. So you might have seen these flying around your house. This is actually bigger than what they really are. They make this noise. Like, are you ready? Have you heard that? What is this? A hummingbird, right? So they come to our houses up here in the spring and the summer, and then they migrate a long way in the wintertime. They have to go where flowers are throughout the wintertime to survive. So these are hummingbirds. So I looked up some facts about hummingbirds. Ready, listen? All right. So we, as people, we can walk about 20 or 30 miles a day if we're really trying, right? Good pace walk. We can do that. Hummingbirds can travel as many as 500 miles without stopping. Pretty crazy, right? So that little tiny bird, it has to fly over a big part of the ocean without stopping in like a 24-hour time. How many breaths do you think you take if you're just sitting down, feeling relaxed? Okay. On average, a person takes about 16 breaths per minute if we're relaxed, not if we're running around. This little hummingbird can take 150 breaths per minute if it's just resting, right? If we can try to flap our wings, our hands, we do it kind of, we get pretty fast. But a hummingbird can flap its wings 50 times per second. That's way faster than we can even think about. And when our heart beats about 100 times per minute, right, can you feel your heart beating? A hummingbird's heart can be 1,260 times per minute. I can't even make my hand go that fast to even like feel what that's about. Right? So when I look at stuff like this, it makes me so thankful that God made us so wonderfully complex and the world around us so wonderfully complex. Even things like little tiny hummingbirds that we only get to see for a few months out of the year are so wonderful and cool. And so that made me think of one of our Bible school songs. I'm going to play just a little part of it because it talks about seeing God in the world around us and our things like our hummingbirds, our mountains, our trees, and all that. So if this will work right, we'll end with this quick little part of one of our Bible school songs. Thank you.
I just looked at Alan and said, can I get up and go? I'd like to go on a nature walk today. We're going to look at some prayer requests and some praises this morning. I have a few just to update you on. Donna Brown has been on our prayer list for quite some time now. It's one of Mary Hamilton's good friends. Mary Hamilton expressed that she loved knowing that she was on our prayer list because she didn't have a church family, and she recently passed away, but she passed away knowing that Center loved her and Center lifted her up in the light. So we want to remember Mary, remember Donna Brown's family. We also want to remember Jane tomorrow and the next 3 days, I guess, and then on. Jane's having surgery in the morning on her knee again. And then she'll be in the hospital for a couple days at Wesley Long, and then will immediately be thrown into physical therapy, she told me, this week. So they're going to put her through the ringer, and hopefully we can get that knee greased up and replaced and get her a good one. Also, I want to make a special request that you remember the Coltrane family, Kay and Branson, Bernice, her family. As Kay and Branson care for Bernice, the caretaker usually gets forgotten in remembrance of those being cared for. So we need to specifically lift up the Coltrane family in the light this morning as they're dealing with caring for Bernice and her struggles. Just they were on my heart this morning. So are there any others?
Tommy, Brandy will be having surgery on Wednesday. She's having hip replacement in Clemens.
Okay. Sandy said Brandy Ward will be having hip replacement this week. Bless your heart. Huh? You're ready for a new one. Whitney and I will be traveling today after worship. I'm taking her to Charleston for an anniversary trip. She just recently found out about it yesterday, Friday. So we'll be traveling shortly after worship, and we'll be back Thursday. But Terry will be here. He's traveling back today with his family, so we're kind of tagging out. And he'll be here this week. Any others? Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, as always, we thank you for everything that you give us. We thank you for that light. We thank you for that of God in every single person. We wouldn't be human if we didn't come to you with requests. We wouldn't be Christian if we didn't bow to your supremacy and allow you to work in our lives. Lord, so many prayer requests that may be unspoken. You know the needs. You know the hearts of everyone here, everyone in this world. Bring them to you. Lift them up close to you, Lord. Remember the family of Donna Brown and Mary Hamilton as they experience a loss. We thank you for us that we could lift up Donna each and every time we came together in worship and prayer, and that she felt our presence and she felt the joy of having a church home, even from a distance. Let us continue that ministry. Give us that energy and that power to continue that ministry. Lord, as with medical procedures, we know that science can only go so far, and then comes God. Touch Brandy Ward as she goes through a significant surgery of a hip replacement, that she can, she's excited about it, getting that new hip, and continue that excitement even after the surgery is over, and that she has a smooth transition, smooth therapy, and that she can get back pain-free. Lord, the same for Jane Jones as she's had significant surgeries in the past, and this is yet another one in her history. Touch her, touch George, touch the entire family that they can feel your presence. As while this may be yet another knee surgery, they're still scary, they're still a deep-rooted fear potentially. Ease that burden, ease that fear, that anxiety and let her feel our love. Lord, I bring up the Coltrane family, Kay and Branson, all the family, and specifically Bernice, Kay's mother, as they struggle with cognitive impairments and a decline in Bernice's mental health, Lord. Give them strength as caretakers. Give them such energy that they can continue on. As the frustration builds, allow them to receive that calming voice that can take away those physical frustrations as with caretakers. Lift Bernice up in the light, Lord. In her moments of clarity, let her feel your presence and that she knows that Jesus Christ is hers. Just touch them in such a special way as they mean so much to this local community, the farming community, and the worship community. Lord, I want to thank you for Richard Heist today. As we remember Ann and extend our sorrow to him, Lord, we're thankful that he came back to church and that he's being lifted up in worship. We praise you for all the things that you give us. We praise you for the children. We praise you for the weather. I just can't say enough how much we thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh.
My message this morning comes from Psalm 13. That can be found on 849 in your pew Bible. It will be the entire psalm. And David wrote, "How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him. And my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me." David wrote this psalm during a pretty terrible period in his life. It was written during his continuous flight from Saul. Why was such an important person that we know of David running from Saul? Well, the answer lies in the question. David was important. David was one of Saul's aides. He was a musician. He could play beautifully and it soothed Saul. So Saul kept him close. 1 Samuel gives us a picture of a very jealous Saul. Saul was the current leader of Israel and lost favor, causing David to be anointed as the next king. Now you can imagine that Saul was completely overcome with jealousy, knowing that David was next. Well, this led to some uncontrolled rage. Three times we can read that Saul tried to kill David in 1 Samuel. Learning of this plot to kill him, David had to flee because he had people chasing him. Kind of like a bounty hunter, but they were looking for him. We don't know just how long David had to run. We don't know how long he had to hide, but we know that he had to do that. We know that his future was a threat. So this flight from Saul brings us to this psalm, this song that David wrote. And it paints a brief picture of what David was going through. It talks about the agony. It shows us an agony of what David was in. In verses 1 and 2, "How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle my thoughts day after day, sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me?" How long? How long? How long? How long? It wasn't done in joy. What a set of emotional questions. David doesn't just stop at the first question. He continues his plea to God, a plea of agony. It wasn't just a simple prayer or a complaint. It was, "Oh God, how long?" He was asking those tough questions and crying out for help because of his experience that he was going through. These verses also show that David's patience was wearing thin. How long? How much longer? Hello? How much longer are you going to keep this up? Help me. He was growing impatient of the loneliness he had felt because he was in caves. He was hiding out in caves and running and constantly on the run by himself, kind of like a fugitive. He thought God had forgotten him. God was nowhere to be found in his eyes. David's frustrations were piling up as the enemy was getting closer and Saul was winning. The comfort of him knowing that he's the next king didn't do anything for him because he was looking to God. "Where are you? Hello? God, I'm right here. Why are you leaving me by myself?" We see in verses 3 and 4 that after those questions, he's now saying, "God, look at me. Don't forget me. Give light to my eyes so I can have a clear vision, so I can see you. Reveal yourself to me, because I will die if not. And my enemies will win. Just imagine what 1% of this loneliness feels like for David. Here he is begging for a sight of God just to continue going forward. We see later in verse 5, he changes his tune a little bit because he uses the word but. God, where are you? You've forgotten me. Hello, how much longer? However, but I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices for in your salvation. Clear my vision, Lord. Let me see you. But I love you. I trust you. I have your salvation. Thank you, Lord. In the last verse, help me. How long? My enemies are going to win. I love you. But I'm going to worship you. Regardless. David works through his despair, works through his patience, and through his darkness and his loneliness and his running to see his faith in God. He sees that unfailing love. He has that salvation. He understands that while I don't see you now, I'll still worship you and I still love you. What an impactful song in such short words. It's plain English for us. Now, switching gears a little bit, how many people, by a show of hands, own a pair of sunglasses? All right, see how honesty works out in church. How many people own more than one pair of sunglasses? I have one for every car. But they're the same sunglasses. I got them on sale. They're a wonderful invention. They come in many different sizes and colors. Prices and styles, and prices and prices and prices and prices. Whitney makes fun of me sometimes for having, sometimes we'll be sitting there on the couch watching TV or something, and I'll just rattle off some random fact. And she always looks at me and says, really? I can't help it. Like, I was at Mom's house the other day, and she mentioned Blackbeard the Pirate. I said, oh, Edward Teachie. And she just kind of looked at me. I can't help it. It's just that random knowledge. So I'm going to spout off some random knowledge for y'all today. Today's no different. Did you know that 12th century Chinese are credited with the creation of sunglasses? Take that to lunch and talk about it. They made them to protect the eyes from the sun and to hide people's expressions in the court of law. I thought that was interesting. You know, 75% of designer sunglasses are made by one company. An Italian company makes Chanel, Ralph Lauren, Burberry labels, in addition to owning Oakley and Ray-Ban. The price is all a gimmick. Elton John is thought to own the largest sunglass collection in the world. No surprise there. Got some blue shaded sunglasses, some red ones, some pink ones. Sunglasses play an important role in shielding our eyes from those harmful rays from the sun, and they protect us from things flying in our eyes. Now, by show of hands, how many people have been chased by a jealous king? Okay, good. Just making sure. How many people have had to flee to caves for an extended period of time for safety? Nope, not me. Not too many. Now, without raising your hand, how many have felt such a loneliness that we thought God had left us? I wonder how many mental hands are going up now. Life has such a way of wearing us down to the point of David's despair. David ran from his enemy, living alone, away from his friends, and all that he knew just to survive. Now, certainly there are times in our lives when we feel like we're fleeing an enemy, physical or spiritual. Many times, like David, those enemies get into our thoughts and they consume our minds. They change our opinions and our view of things. They change our vision and they darken our eyesight. Go ahead, it's okay to laugh. It's times like these where our sight of God becomes dark and distorted, much like the sunglasses have caused mine. These look crazy and wild. They were $2.50 at Walmart. But these look crazy and wild because that's normally what our lives are like when we don't think God is there. Neon green and mirrored lenses. I'll turn around, the choir can see me too. There you go. There are times in my life, in my career, where I couldn't see God at work. Lives lost, some tragically. People hurt. Pain, suffering, sadness surrounds us every day. And I've asked, just like David did, how much longer? God, how much longer? How much more am I going to have to see of this? And I was looking exactly like I'm looking through these glasses today. Those caves sure can be miserable when you can't see your hand in front of your face. Looking for salvation, searching for something greater than yourself, you can feel completely in the dark. Our enemies, our sinful nature, those against God want our vision to be blurry. They want us to go completely blind. They want us to not see His love. How do we clear up our vision? How can I see God? Well, David said it. All that sorrow, but then look at verse 5. But I trust in your unfailing love. I trust. David just doesn't say he's trusted. He also rejoiced in salvation and sang the Lord's praise and worship. That sounds all good and may even sound easier. But how can we do that sitting here? How can we change our lenses so that we can see God working not only in our lives, but in the lives of people around us? Well, David gives us that instruction. First step, he cries out to God. We talk to God on a constant and consistent way so that He hears our needs. We know He knows them, but He wants us to seek Him. Making that conscious sacrifice in our prayer life helps keep our eyes healthy. Jesus tells us in Matthew 6 that the eye is the lamp of the body. If our eyes are healthy, our whole body will be full of light. We're told in Philippians, which is written much later than David, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Talking to God. Talking to God gives us the protection of our eyes. It may not completely clear your vision, but it gives you that protection. It allows you that start. A little bit clearer, but my eyes are protected. Prayer protects our eyes from those things that are thrown at us to divert our focus. It keeps those rocks from flying out and hitting us in the face. It blocks all that junk that clouds our eyes, and it keeps our light burning bright. We may still not have a completely clear sight of God, much like I have a yellow vision right now, but my eyes are protected. We increase our confidence and our faith, which gives us that necessary strength to move on, and it starts clearing the lenses. We accept patience. I know that's a hard one. Everyone always says, don't pray for it or you'll get it. But we have to be patient. We have to know that God's plan may not be our plan. This is where that prayer life comes in handy. The heart of a man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. If we cannot see past ourselves, past this physical shell, and accept that we're actually not in control, we can wait a little easier, just knowing that God's got it. David continued to run. He had an established relationship with God. He continued to pray. He continued to wait. I read a quote online just the other day, and it fits so perfectly, and it said, "Sometimes you have to remind yourself to step back and let God be God." Sometimes you have to remind yourself to step back and let God be God. David also tells us that we need to worship. Everything we do in our lives should be in a spirit of worship. David, in the pit of death, wrote a song and ended it in praising God. If we take time to look at ourselves, look at our lives, and see all that God provides, we can say with a resounding voice, "Thank you, Lord." It gives us that desire to sing at the top of our lungs, which I will not be doing for you today. Shout to all the earth, "We have God who loves us." One thing David didn't have in here. David didn't have this actual knowledge, this historical knowledge. But we have the knowledge of the life of Jesus. David prophesied about the Messiah, but he didn't know who he was by name. Didn't know the Sermon on the Mount. Didn't know the good works, the healing, the praying, the loving of the lepers. Knew none of that. Just knew that there was a Messiah coming. But we do. We know that there was teachings and there was a life and there was a man that we could lay our eyes on and put an image to in this world and say, "God is right there." David had God in his time. He had worship. He had the anointing as a king. But we have the knowledge that we can read in not only the Old Testament, but the New Testament. A lot of God in here. David lived in it, but we can read past it. We have the visible example of God's love through the death and resurrection of Christ. Romans 5, 6 through 8. "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Our final and maybe most important step is knowing that God does love us unconditionally. Sometimes we realize this as we're hiding in our caves, lost in our lives, or hitting rock bottom with no one to turn to around us physically. It can be these points that we hit, we cry out for help. "How much longer, Lord?" But God is constantly revealing himself to us in everything around us. How wonderful that Lindsay mentioned that in children's moments, that God is revealing themselves to the children right now through their nature walk and through their teachings. If we embrace this real-time realization, our sight becomes less dark and we can start seeing that light in others and ourselves. As we continue to grow in Christ, that light gets brighter, driving out all the darkness around us. There it is. There's our vision plan. As we grow in our prayer life, sacrifice ourselves to be patient in God's time, praise him for all the blessings that we have, and accept the reality of Christ, our vision becomes clear. You can see again. But even better, you can see protected. You can see completely protected by the love of Christ. Those dark times may not always go away. You may bounce back and forth between the different colors, the different darknesses. They'll creep up. They'll slide in. They'll sneak in from the back. They'll open an unlocked door in the basement and kind of come in and get you. That's what we have to deal with on a daily basis. But it's up to us to make sure that we're looking through the right lens. David never gave up. He cried out, how long? He begged for a revelation. He continued to worship and praise the Father through his firmly rooted faith. You can keep up with all the running and the sweating and the bleeding and the crying and the pain alone, but I promise you, God is there. When you're having a David moment and you're hiding in your cave, know that God was there before David. God was there with David. And God is there with you in Jesus. If you don't know how to do that, all you have to do is ask. If you need the protection, if you need to cover your eyes and get clearer vision, all you have to do is say, Lord, I need your protection. Clear my eyes and let me see. Ask him just as plainly as you would for anything else. He knows what's on your heart. Say, let the Holy Spirit work through me and take away the how long. Changing the lens in which you look at life. That's it. Clear it up. Know that God is always there. But all you have to do is look.
Thank you, Tommy. That reminded me of the trapped children and the soccer coach in Thailand, what doubt and despair they probably feel and how far away from God they probably feel. So let's all pray for them this week and the rescuers and heroes of that situation. Let's all stand and sing The Light of the World is Jesus, hymn number 636. Thank you.
thank you for today. We thank you for this gathering of friends and Christians, Lord, and your light. Clear our vision so that we can see you in everything that we do and we go out into this world sharing the message of your gospel. Help us clear other lenses so that they can see the vision of the light of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a good week.